massive. Like Judy's going, yeah, it's like being in school. But don't worry about that. I just want to present sort of a buffet or a smorgasbord of some ideas about you and I being named by God, the names that God bestows, the titles that he gives. And we'll just go through that. Now, many years ago, Judy and I were in Ghana. That's in West Africa. And in Ghana, when a child is born, the child is given the name of the day on which they were born. So for Judy and I, all of our children were born on a Sunday. So we would give them all the name Kwesi. Kwesi means Sunday born. And all across Ghana, people be introduced as Kwesi or whatever, you know, the day that they were born. But then sometime later, the whole family, even if it's an important person, the whole clan will gather, and a name will be bestowed that has great meaning, a lot of hopes and expectations. But initially, it's the day that they were born. And you have a parallel to this in the New Testament. John the Baptist in Luke chapter 1, verses 57 through 66. And if you remember the story, Zechariah had the honor. Zechariah is John the Baptist's father, of being the priest chosen to go into the Holy of Holies. He had an encounter with God, and God said, you know, you and Elizabeth, even though you're getting on in years, you haven't had children, you're going to have a child. Zechariah doubted God, and God then took away his speaking ability for the duration. So in Luke 1, verse 57 through 66, you'll have a naming ceremony. On the eighth day, Elizabeth, which is the wife of Zechariah, and the family were gathered for a circumcision and a naming ceremony. So they're going to name this child. Elizabeth says, the child's name is going to be John. And everyone's amazed. They said, no, it should be Zach, because his dad's name is Zechariah. Well, they said Zechariah, but in today's terms, we're going to name this child Zach. No, should be John. So they deferred to the father, who hadn't been able to speak. And he wrote, yep, that's right, the name should be John. And which is quite out of character. You should have taken the name of your father in those days. And then suddenly Zechariah could speak, and he began to praise the Lord that God had provided a child for them. But the whole community grapevine got to talk, and this spread around the community. And they were just had great expectations for this child because of how he was named and what he was named. And so we don't really have those kind of naming ceremonies here. In Malawi, across much of the world, it's very common to have a very significant naming ceremony. And names are kind of given for meaning. They're given for hope. They're given for expectations. There's all kinds of reasons that names are given to that little baby. And we see that in the scriptures. Just by way of, again, a buffet, if any of you have British heritage, there are something like 45,000 different British surnames. But they all kind of fall into six categories. So one category would be occupational. Anybody here have a surname Carpenter? So if you're from, your lineage is from the UK and your last name is Carpenter, it's because your family line was carpenters way back when. Could be a personal characteristic. My mom's surname is White. We have some friends called Long. Could be short, long. So characteristics. My wife's name would be Beauty. There's place names, Hamilton, if your last name's a Hamilton. Jack London probably came from London, the famous author. We have people that belong to an estate. Any of you Windsors? No Windsors. Somewhere back in time, you belonged to the Windsor estate, which is the royal estate in England, whether you worked there or you're part of the Windsors. There's ancestral names, landscapes, and so forth. A lot of names come from the Scottish clans. My name Atkins comes from a Scottish surname, Aiken. And then first names also have meanings. I like my first name. Do you know what Andrew means? manly, courageous, strong. Yeah, so I like my first name. I don't know if my parents meant that. Judy's is the praised one, to be praised. How about Bill? Pastor William. Anybody know what that means? Resolute defender. That's a really good one. Protector. It actually has its origins in over in Germany. Wilhelm is the origins of that. We kind of named our children too with meaning. We wanted them to have biblical names, number one. So our firstborn, we called him Caleb. Caleb is that guy that 80 years old and he's conquering new territory for the Lord. And our secondborn was a bit different because we wanted to call him Simon after Simon Peter. But, excuse me. Our good friends, we were in Tanzania at that time as missionaries. And our good friends had a child about 3 weeks before us, called him Simon. So suddenly, we didn't have a name picked out. And our secondborn came very early, so we didn't have that space of time. So we're actually in the hospital in the delivery ward and thinking, okay, Caleb, Joshua, but a lot of people are calling Joshua. Let's call him Josiah, because I think Josiah was a good king. You know, we weren't quite sure, so we're trying to look in the delivery ward for a Gideon Bible or something to confirm that our secondborn, who's Josiah, was actually a good king. And Josiah is, he's the king that returned the nation of Israel back to holiness and righteousness. Probably after King David, one of the most holy kings that there were. And then our daughter Angelica, of course, angel or angelic, servant of the Lord, someone who's to serve the Lord. So you can see that names have great meaning. And the second thing that I just want to show you is names talk about character. Exodus 34 is really a favorite passage of mine. And we see this idea of names not only having meaning, but having great character. So if you want to go to Exodus chapter 34 and verses 5 through 7. So, before we get to that verse, Moses has kind of been asking God, I want to see you, Lord. He's been almost, if I was to use the terms, nagging God, because he's been up and down the mountain. God, I want to see you. I don't know if I can lead these people if I don't see you face to face. And the Lord kept saying, well, if you see me, then you'll be killed instantly. So, in this passage, we have the Lord appearing to Moses, but he's hiding himself a bit in the cloud. And he actually shares with Moses who he is, his character. And it's very interesting how this puts this. Then the Lord came down, verse 5 through 7 of Exodus chapter 34. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses proclaiming, the Lord, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet, he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sins of their fathers to the third and fourth generation. So God passed in front of Moses and shared his name, but it was much deeper than that. God was sharing his character with Moses. He wasn't just saying, greetings, I'm the Lord, and that's my name. He was sharing his character. Do you see that? The Lord passed by proclaiming the Lord's character, compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, loving, faithful, loving to thousands, forgiving, yet full of justice. And so we come to understand in the biblical sense, not only do names have great meaning, but names talk about character. We see this in Jesus, the song we sung earlier, but we also see it in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, the prophetic names of Jesus. Therefore unto us a child will be born, unto us a son is given, and his name will be called Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And then it talks about his justice and his righteousness. So as God proclaimed his name to Moses, it was his character. As Isaiah prophesied about Jesus, he was prophesying about the names of Jesus that would talk about the character of Jesus. Look at Philippians 2, verses 9 through 11. This is talking about Jesus. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place. Excuse me, I have a bit of a cold here. So if my voice goes squeaky, that's why. And gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. So we understand that God has exalted Jesus and given him a name that is above every name. And so thinking of all those characteristics, insert all those characteristics of Jesus into his name. And we know that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and every knee will bow at the name of Jesus. I believe it's much deeper than just Jesus is Lord and we'll all bow. I believe it's talking about the character of Jesus. When compassion reigns throughout the world, can you imagine? When the reality of our world is compassion, universally, every one of us, we're going to acknowledge Jesus as the author of compassion and bow, thank you, Lord. When love breaks out right throughout the world, and that characterizes our world, we're all going to bow, Lord Jesus, thank you that this is a loving world. When violence is gone and peace breaks out throughout the world, and Boko Haram and the ISIS and all that is gone, we're going to bow at the foot of Jesus and say, thank you, Jesus, for redeeming this world. So at the name of Jesus, at those characteristics ruling the earth, we're going to bow and confess that Jesus is Lord and brought those characteristics universally to the glory of God. So we see names have great meaning. They talk about character. There's a number of interesting things where names talk about changes. And they talk about changes in both character and meaning. There's a bunch of biblical examples. Do you remember that Abram became Abraham? And God said, I'm going to give you a new name because now you're going to be the father of many nations. Jacob became Israel. And I find this one kind of ironic. Israel means... And it happened, remember, the night that Jacob was wrestling with the messenger from God, the angel, and kind of hung in there in the wrestling all the way until dawn, and then the person departed. Said, you now have a new name because you struggled with God and overcame. So Israel actually means struggling with God, and it kind of characterizes the nation of Israel, doesn't it? Especially in the wilderness. Saul didn't want to use his name Saul. His other name was Paul, because as Saul, he was one who persecuted the believers. So then he began to use his second name, Paul, the Apostle Paul. We have kind of a negative example with Naomi. Remember, Naomi went to Moab. She had a husband, two sons. Life was good. I mean, back in Israel, it was tough, but they were going to make a living in Moab. Didn't work out that way. All she came back with was no husband, no sons, and one daughter-in-law, Ruth. And so they said, oh, Naomi, welcome back. She said, no. Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. And Mara means bitterness or bitter. So we see a number of name changes in the scriptures, different characteristics. Daniel and his three friends, that's kind of an interesting one. When they were taken captive into Babylon, they wanted Daniel to become Belteshazzar, which was a Babylonian name. And his three friends became Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The reason for that is they wanted these individuals to no longer identify themselves with Israel, but now identify themselves with Babylon. And so we see in Scripture that names change for a variety of reasons, for a variety of characteristics. But what I really want to sort of focus on is how we are named by God. God bestows names on us. not just our surnames from British ancestry, if that's what we're talking about, not just our first names with meanings, but God bestows some very, very wonderful and beautiful names on us. If we look in the Old Testament, one of my favorite sections about the names that God has bestowed on us is from Isaiah chapter 43. And it's kind of neat how the Holy Spirit works. If you look in the front of your bulletin, I believe you'll see Isaiah chapter 43 there. Is that correct?
Right.
We didn't organize that ahead of time. That was just chosen. Isaiah 43 talks about the wonderful names that God has bestowed on us. Let me just read verses 1 to 4. And this is God speaking through his prophet Isaiah. But now this is what the Lord said. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. And the verses that Bolton talks about, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Sheba in your stead. And then these words come from the Lord. These are the Lord and his name for us. You are precious. You are honored in my sight. I love you. I will give men in exchange for you and people in exchange for your life. God has called you and me precious, honored, loved ones. I think that's just so encouraging because verse 2 talks about the times of flooding, the times of fires, the difficulties we go through. And yet we can hold on to the names that God has given us, precious one, honored one, loved one. We see the same thing in the New Testament in the scripture readings that we had earlier, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through to chapter 6, verse 1. And I appreciate reading that earlier. But there's a number of names or titles that God has given to us through his son Jesus Christ. And to me, they're some of the most amazing characteristics that I know of in the scriptures. Verse 17 talks about when we are in Christ, we become a new creation. So first of all, new creation, that characteristic is one of the names that we're given in Christ Jesus. All, behold, the old is past and all things have become new. So new creation is one. Then a bit later on, we find out that we're all ministers of reconciliation. Now, we know Pastor Bill is a minister, right? But this scripture talks about every single one of us being a minister. So it's not just Pastor Bill as our minister, but every one of us is a minister of reconciliation because God wants us to reconcile the world back to himself. So new creation is what you are, minister of reconciliation. I think it gets even more amazing. We're each of us ambassadors of Christ. I don't know if all of you have traveled, but there's certain lines where special people go through at airports. And when we go to Malawi, there's a line for people who don't live in Malawi, non-residents. Then there's a line for Malawi residents. And then there's a line for diplomats. And I always want to go to the diplomatic line because I'm an ambassador of Christ. But I don't have a passport that shows that. But ambassadors are chosen because they are highly educated people. They're going to represent the country of United States in Malawi. In fact, when the U.S. ambassador in Malawi speaks to the president of Malawi, it's assumed that the ambassador's words are President Obama's words. So it's a very high, special position to be able to speak the very words of your president in a foreign country. And yet that's the name or the title that God has given each one of us. Everyone who's a believer in Christ is an ambassador of Christ, speaking the very words of God to the people that you meet in the situation where you are. And then to me, it gets even better in chapter 6, verse 1. The reading called fellow workers. And it just kind of casually slips that in. As fellow workers of Christ, don't take the grace of God in vain. Don't take the gift of God in vain. But I don't think it's casual at all. Because really what that means is you and I are partners with the living God, the sovereign creator of the universe, in building his kingdom throughout the world. So new creation and just keeps building. Minister of reconciliation, ambassador of Christ, partner with the living God in building his creation throughout the world. These are the names, the titles that God has bestowed upon us through Jesus Christ our Lord. And to me, I think it's very significant because if you follow through back to verse 17, whoever, that word whoever is inclusive. It doesn't mean just Pastor Bill, the missionaries, you know, whoever you might think is a new creation in Christ, is a minister of reconciliation, is an ambassador of Christ, is a partner of God. Whoever is in Christ, God has given us the name or the title to be those things. New creation, minister of reconciliation, ambassador of Christ, and a partner with God. And it's a high, high calling. It's a high, high name. It's a high, high position that we're given in Christ, each one of us. And so I think it's a wonderful, wonderful privilege to be named by God on those kind of names. And that's from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 through chapter 6, verse 1. But I would kind of like to maybe switch it a bit and just think about some of the characters and the characteristics that have been bestowed. And particularly, I want you to think about how you name other people. We've seen a bit how God's named us. Meaning, significance, very high names. We've seen the names of Christ, some of the biblical names. But I want you to kind of think a bit as we bring this to a conclusion. Just about naming others. We see names have great meaning and great characteristics, but when we begin to look at others, and when we think about our names, our identity in Christ, I really believe that God wants us to call out in each other the same names that he's called out in us. I believe that, first of all, he wants us to call out Christ's identity. Ephesians 2:10 is to me just a very special verse. Let me just turn to that. Ephesians 2:10. I think you're quite familiar with verses 8 and 9, for it is by grace that we've been saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then the following verse is verse 10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. I want you to think about that word, workmanship. As I understand it, the Greek root for that is a word called poema, in which we get the word poem from that. So my version would kind of go something like this. We are God's poem, etched in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And so for me, workmanship, I can understand that, but the idea that I'm God's poem, that Andy Atkins is a poem that God is writing in Christ Jesus to accomplish good works. And I think that is the concept I would like to sort of flip in and think about when you name others. What's your name? And you might respond, oh, I'm Bill or Sue, I'm John or Jonathan, Jessica or Jeremy, you know, whatever it is. And that might be it. But as we begin to think about other people as God's poem that God is etching in Christ Jesus and transforming to be like Christ, we have a privilege as God's partners to help those individuals to be able to call that characteristic out. Because all of us let sin get in the way of this beautiful poem that God is writing. That's our life. And I just want us to think about three ideas that when we go into the world as a new creation, as a minister of reconciling the broken relationships that are out in the world, as an ambassador of Christ, as a partner with God, I want you to become familiar with three words and constantly name everyone around you with these three words. Paul talks about imitating God as followers of Christ, and Luke chapter 3 talks about this. This is God himself speaking in Luke chapter 3 about his son Jesus Christ. So in the story, Jesus has gone down and he's just been baptized by John the Baptist. And then he's coming up from the waters of baptism in the River Jordan. And listen to this. When all the people were being baptized, this is Luke chapter 3, verse 21. Jesus was baptized also. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove. And listen to this. And a voice came from heaven, the Lord's voice, "You are my son, whom I love, and with you I am well pleased." So we see three concepts, three titles, but three names. You are my son, you're mine, you are loved, your loved one, and in whom I'm well pleased, I'm pleased with you. And as we think about being Christ's ambassadors, the question I want to ask is, what do you name people that are around you? What do you name your husband or your wife? I'm not talking about Judy or Andy, but what are you really naming them? Your children, your coworkers, the strangers you meet on the street. I was thinking about this the other day as we drove down. I'm naming drivers something and it's not very pleasant as they're cutting in and out. But the idea is, what are you naming? What meaning are you giving? What characteristic are you giving to those that are around you? Judy and I really struggled to learn Chichewa, the language in Malawi. It was just a really tough language. But somehow, some of the choice words that we heard over and over and over, we were able to get. There's one that goes like this, it's choka. And that just means, just get lost. Or there's iwe, hey you. There was one word that we learned called mabuto. And we learned it actually in a sad way. Because in Malawi, we rented a house and a gardener came along with the house, a caretaker of the property. His name was Isaac. And we were needing to repair the fence. There's just a slab fence. You know, when they cut logs, the slabs on them, that was our fence. We need to repair that. But it was a bigger job than Isaac and I could handle. So we were going to invite a friend's house, at their house, they had a caretaker as well, to come and help. And he said, no, why don't you let me bring my wife's brother and he can help us. And so we said, that's great. So he brought his wife's brother to help us, and he introduced his wife's brother as Mabuto. We're thinking, Mabuto, because that means problem. Mm-hmm. And we said, is that his real name? They said, yeah, that's his real name. And so somewhere back in time, at the naming ceremony, whatever reason, they gave Isaac's brother-in-law the name Mabuto. And we just thought that was horrible. But you see the meaning and the characteristic that name has bestowed? For us, he worked fine. He was cheerful. He did a great job. But as we begin to learn his story, he was struggling his whole life. So his name almost became a self-fulfilling prophecy. He quit halfway through because he didn't want to work very hard and he had some other issues. But can you imagine Mabuto, problem? Can you imagine naming someone problem over and over and over? We have similar words, don't we? Hey, loser, just get away from me. You're a jerk. You know, we have those names that we bestow on people. And really what I would like to to say is that that shouldn't be. As followers of Christ, Paul tells us to be imitators of God. Whether it's family, those that are near and dear to you, strangers, we should be giving the names that God has given people. And we should be helping them to write the poem that God has written at their life. That was created in them, that was named for them before the beginning of creation. So in the coming weeks, just make a commitment to those around you. Let's each of us decide, and I'm, as I told you, I can drive and I can throw these names out at people. But let's make a commitment to regularly imitate Christ to whatever Bill or Sue or Jonathan or Jessica that we meet, whether it's our nearest and dearest, our family, or strangers, and that they would never hear names thrown at them or bestowed on them that have negative meanings, that we would say, you know what, you're mine. You belong. I love you. You're precious. You're honored. I'm really well pleased with you. Those three words, let those be heard over and over and over. Let that be the habit of us as followers of Christ who've been named by God as we name those around us. And as we do that, we'll be calling out in each person a beautiful life poem, for we are God's poema, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And we'll be part of the sanctification journey of those individuals to become more like Christ and more what Christ intended them to be. So let these words be what people hear over and over and over. You are mine. You are precious. I love you. And I'm really well pleased with you. Thank you, and may God bless you.